speaking truth to power. Sounds like something you ought to do and easy, but it's not. And we're going to talk about it on Steve Brown, Etc.
He's an old white guy, an author, broadcaster, and seminary professor who's sick of religion. And he's brought friends. Please welcome Steve Brown, Etc.
And we're glad you're here. I know you're tired of me saying it, but I need to say it because it's speaking truth when it needs to be spoken. You always have a place at our table, and we're so glad that you spend this time with us. I'm Steve, the aforementioned old white guy, and Matthew Porter, our executive producer, is here. In the body of Christ, Matthew is kind of an appendix. We don't know exactly what it is he does. And our producer, Jinx, is working hard.
Wait a minute, though. Does that mean that we don't need him? That's not right.
No. We know we need him. We just don't know why.
Is he going to blow up?
Possibly.
Inflamed.
And the last voice you heard was that of our producer, Jinx. He's eating lunch and working hard in his little glass booth. We know what Jinx does. He makes us sound good, and that's quite a task. And then our video director, John Myers, is in his tech bunker. John helps us look good. That's a lot harder than making us sound good. And Dr. George Bingham is the president of Key Life. For George, coffee isn't just a drink. It's an emotional support beverage.
I've admitted my addiction.
And Kathy Wyatt is, of course, the soft feminine side of this program. I was just remembering one time that I got a call that Kathy was in the hospital. I asked about her condition, and they said she's critical. And I said, you'll get over it. Kathy, just so you know, Matthew wrote that. I didn't. I wouldn't say something like that.
All right, it's on me.
Well, if we sound a little off today, it's because we had a guest and we evidently said something to offend that guest and he refused to go on.
It was Matthew.
Actually,
that
we don't think
him.
That's true. There was a mix up and we're going to reschedule and we're looking forward to that. So we were sitting around and waiting
and eating lunch
and waiting and eating lunch. And waiting. And since he didn't show this, we sat down, prayed, fasted.
Except for Jinx.
At least 5 minutes. And then decided what we were going to talk about. And I was saying that I would never buy a Tesla.
Oh, gosh.
Because I thought it was virtue signaling. And it just irritated me. But I've decided that I'm going to go get one, even if I have to sell the house to get it. And do you know why? Because of Elon Musk. I've been watching the news and I just thought he was another progressive liberal, this right of wacko guy. And then all of a sudden he pops up and he does an interview with the head of the Babylon Bee. And we've had him on this program, and you know where he stands. He laughs at silly things, both right and left, both Republican and Democrat. And Musk gave him an hour-long interview. And as I was sitting there, I was thinking, I got this guy wrong. I really do have him wrong. And so if you've been following the news, and I'm sure you have been, Musk bought a good portion of the stock of Twitter, and they offered him a board of directors seat, which he initially accepted and then turned down and said, I've got a better idea. I'm going to buy this whole sucker. And he made an offer, which was a very, very good offer, to buy Twitter. And he's been telling everybody that it is going to be a platform for genuine free speech, not a platform for one view or another view where everybody else is censored. But he was going to make it a real platform because he said the basis of a democratic society is free speech. I agree with him, and I just didn't expect he was going to say that. And he stuck to his guns throughout the whole time. Meanwhile, I've been following him around. This morning I read he didn't have a house. He stays in the spare rooms or the couches of friends in the cities that he visits. He isn't overly consumptive. He does have an airplane, but he said, I have to have it or I couldn't do what I'm doing with the space thing and the car thing. And he's quite successful. He's a multi-billionaire, but he's using his money for the betterment of other people. And he has caused a meltdown. I mean, a major meltdown on the part of those who believe that if you don't agree with me, I'm not going to let you talk. If you don't do what I tell you to do, shut up. If you aren't conforming to the narrative that everybody else is proclaiming, then you can hang it on your ear. You're never going to get a chance to say it or proclaim your views. And so with that as a background, I really like Musk. In fact, I've started praying for him daily. If he doesn't get this, I could be the problem. I don't know if that's a gift I'm giving him or not. But that was kind of the springboard for us beginning to talk about a subject we don't talk about very much because we don't want to offend. We've become not just the silent majority, but will you shut up majority? And a lot of us, and I'm there sometimes too, don't express our views, and especially for the purposes of this program, our views about Jesus, our views about salvation, our views particularly about grace. Because if you believe in radical grace and you really mean it, then you're going to tick off a lot of Christians. And so I find myself in some places where I teach thinking I don't believe I'm going to say what I thought I was going to say. I believe I'm going to back off just a little bit because I don't want to deal with the criticism that will follow it if I tell them what I really think. I was one time at the Cove, the Graham Training Center in the mountains of North Carolina, and I went off on a tangent about why I didn't drink adult beverages. And I said, and the main reason is if I drank booze, I would say what I think. And immediately a guy in the front row stood up and said, and you don't now? And I wanted to say, you have no idea, but I didn't. But there are times, and I don't know if it's my following Christ or whether it's just I'm old and don't give a rip. But I've decided I'm going to back off less than before, especially in areas of God's grace, of his love, of his anger, that he's not angry the way they told us. And so we're going to talk about it on this program. I wish we still had our two-way communication so you could join us. We're planning on some programs when we're going to do that. And then you can not only sit at our table, you can sit at our table and you can speak while you're sitting at our table. But you can't do that on this broadcast or this video. So you're just going to have to listen. And if you find it irritating, if you have a disagreement, you got something to put into the conversation, email us and let us know, and we'll make sure you have a voice. And do you know why? Because of Elon Musk. He is, I don't know if he's a Christian. I mean, nobody's mentioned that. But I tell you, he's acting like one ought to. And because of his example, even if you really go ballistic about what we're going to say on this program, we'll give you a voice. We'll read your email. We will exorcise all of the curse words and the hatred. No, that's how it starts. We'll let you say whatever you want to say because we have a hero. And he's creating a platform, and we thought that we should too. Guys, this is hard work, especially when a guest doesn't show, so we need to rest up, take a nappy nap, have a glass of milk and some cookies, and then we're going to come back. And when we come back, we're going to talk about speaking truth to power and the importance, especially in this culture, for Christians to speak truth, even if we're sure that our doing that will bring the wrath of people against us. Don't go away. We're coming back.
Hi, this is Eric, producer of Steve Brown, Etc. If you've been listening very long, you know I'm a struggling believer, and I'd love to share some things that have helped. At Key Life, we believe that the deepest message of the ministry of Jesus and the Bible is the radical grace of God for sinners and sufferers. And we have four mini books that'll help you believe that no matter what you've done or what you're going through, God's not mad at you. Feeling Guilty, Suffering, and Faith and Doubt by Steve Brown will help you apply healing biblical truth to where it hurts the most. And my mini book, The Gift of Addiction, How God Redeems Our Pain, shows that coming to the end of ourselves is actually the beginning of faith. These four mini books are in the Grace for Sinners and Sufferers mini book combo, and it's available at keylife.org for a suggested donation of $12. They're also individually available for a suggested donation of $4.
We're so glad you're here. If you're just joining us, we had a guest scheduled, and there was a mix-up. We don't know what happened. We hope everything's okay, and we're going to reschedule it, so it's just us. And we sit around and talk a lot anyway at Key Life, and this we decided just to leave the camera on and the microphones on and the lighting on and sit around and talk the way we do a lot at Key Life. And we decided we're going to talk about speaking truth to power. And the reason for that was Elon Musk's recent effort to purchase Twitter and all of the stuff that's going on, meltdown in some circles, all of the stuff that's going on because of him buying Twitter and saying that he's going to make it a platform for free speech. He said, and I said this before, and there's truth to it, that the bedrock of democracy is freedom of speech. And I think that's true. And that led us and me mostly talking in the last segment about the importance of Christians, especially in matters that have to do with our faith, not being reticent about speaking up. I think that Christians can say when pagans are saying things with which we can't disagree, we can say, you know, I have a different perspective than you do. I hope we can still be friends if I express what I think. And if we can't be friends after I do, then I'll deal with having one less friend. So we're talking about speaking truth to power. A number of years ago, a friend of mine, John Whitehead, sent me one of those bumper stickers that said, speak truth to power. Now, that's a saying that's used often by people who so far to the left of me that I can't find them. And so I put the bumper sticker right under my pro-life license plate. And that confused everybody. And now that I think about it, that's what Christians are supposed to do. We're supposed to confuse others. And when they have questions, make sure we have some answers. And that's called speaking truth to power. I said, Dr. Bingham, during the break, will you add to this? And George said, I'll say I agree. And I decided that's not enough. So George has been thinking about it. Put in your 2 cents worth.
You know, what struck me is when you said the speak truth to power adjacent to your pro-life license plate confuse people, it actually wouldn't confuse people so much now because it turns out that it's more likely to align in terms of the philosophical perspective that, is normally associated, with one particular political side or the other. And the speak truth to power, as you were indicating, came out of especially the 60s and the hippies became the yippies and, got very political and then got politically successful and now reside largely in the positions of power. And, it is interesting that while certainly called to speak truth to power, it's something not to forget when you actually end up in the position of power, because we Christians certainly seem capable of being just as defensive about our positions of power when we end up in them. True. And are just as reluctant to hear someone speaking truth to power, perhaps as we are to speak truth to power. And maybe one of the things that, maintain a sensitivity to is how readily it is to get comfortable as Christians were a few decades ago, being in those positions of political power and not being as open, perhaps, to others speaking truth to our position.
You know, when you were working on your doctoral dissertation, you were doing a lot of work on leadership generally and leadership in particular in religious organizations. And you dealt a lot with this, as I remember, the idea of you're getting power and leading with the power rather than some of the other ways that work better. You want to comment on that? After all, you wrote 200 pages about it.
Yeah, but that was a few years ago. I don't remember anything.
You don't remember anything you said.
Certainly, and I was looking in particular at the academic construct that was called servant leadership, and then relating it certainly to the biblical perspective on servant leadership, which is where where it originated. It's the idea that while, servant leadership doesn't mean that you are getting coffee for all the people in your organization all the time, not that you should be above that. Certainly you should be just as willing to do that as other things. But your service is your leadership, and certainly part of leading is being in that perspective is being sensitive to the needs and the concerns of the people that you've been called to lead.
And to make it possible for them to speak truth to the power that you have.
Well, and exactly. And interestingly enough, just from a process engineering standpoint, those are the very people you want to be talking to when you're trying to make your organization operate as in as high a quality and efficiency as possible, is be very open to the input from the people in your organization and their concerns of what might keep them from, you know, doing their job to the best of their ability. Yeah, you it certainly can relate to if you're in the position of power, being open to receiving input from those that might not be considered to be in as high a position of power.
We were the power, as George pointed out, for a very long time, and now we're not. And in some circles, Christians are hated. That's why it's more important than ever, even when it costs us, to speak truth, to be kind when we do it, to be cool and civil when we do it, but to speak truth no matter what. Because if we don't, nobody else has the truth that we have to speak. Hey, we're going to take a break, but we're coming back.
From Key Life comes two mini books, What Do You Do for a Living? And Life After Retirement. What Do You Do for a Living by Justin Holcomb addresses the problem of defining ourselves by what we do and how we perform in our work instead of by who we know. A gracious, loving God who defines who we are. Life After Retirement by Steve Brown examines how those transitioning from work to retirement often experience a loss of purpose in life, and how the quest for personal significance can best be answered by God's radical grace, love, and purpose for our lives sufficient to carry us through this transition. What Do You Do for a Living and Life After Retirement can help guide people struggling with either work or retirement. These two Key Life mini books are available through keylife.org for a donation of $6.
Hey, we're so glad that you're with us. We had a mix-up with our guest, and since we sit around and talk all the time here at Key Life, we decided we'd just turn on the microphones for those of you who are listening on the radio, and the cameras for those of you who are subscribing to our YouTube channel, and just sit around and talk. And we're talking about speaking truth to power.
And I just want to say, you know, a couple segments earlier, Steve, you were talking about this new kind of love fest that you have with Elon Musk because he seeks truth to power. And you're committed to praying him in the kingdom. And I think that can happen. I just wanted to be clear. It has nothing to do with Elon's position of being able to write a check for Key Life and
no,
take care of us
whatsoever.
Nothing. Just want to put that on
not
the table.
In any way, but we wouldn't turn it down.
We would not turn it down.
It's you can all money. It just ain't enough.
You can always nice remind gesture. Him that, you know, this could be the first donation of the rest of his contributions for the rest
That's
of
right.
his life.
It's you not know, about good works, but you
I'm
know,
sure he's watching this program with bated breath.
Well, you know,
I would vote for him for president. I don't have any idea what he's like. He's probably libertarian, but I like him so much and didn't even hardly know who he was until 2 weeks ago.
Now you're going to vote for him for president.
I might. I need to know a couple of things.
I feel like you're going to write some poems to him and spiral down.
I have a tendency to
send him flowers.
For a generous contribution, I will send him flowers.
I wonder if he's got any friends in Orlando. You could let him sleep on your couch.
There you go.
I would.
He wouldn't let him sleep. He'd talk to him for hours.
It's amazing how bold somebody can be just for having $39 billion.
That's true. And he says that. He knows that. Right. You know, the great thing about him is his ability to understand, to be thankful that God has given him that kind, although he wouldn't say God, even though James researched it and said that he had prayed the first time they made their stocks public.
No, the first time they lost the ship.
No, it wasn't then. It was when his first Falcon rocket went up.
Oh, the first rocket went up.
Not launching the company, launching the rocket.
Yeah. I think I'd pray to something myself if I was on a rocket.
Do you all find yourself being quiet in places you didn't used to be quiet?
Not really. That's why I'm quiet here.
No. Yeah, but you like to irritate people, so you're not a part of this human problem that we're talking about.
I've got
about.
A suit made of sandpaper. I'm ready.
If Jinx thinks that he's going to say it, and if you can't deal with it, then tough.
You know,
I've been studying Steve for a long time.
It's gotten into such a level of, cancel. I mean, it's not just disagree. It's not just be at odds with, family or friends or whatever, but it's, it seems like the direction, the encouragement, especially on one side, it seems, is that if there's any disagreement, you cancel the other side, sort of like you were saying in your opening monologue. It's, you don't just agree to disagree. You are supposed to stop the other person from making any statements.
Yeah, and it seems like, the most immediate forum that we have for talking now is social media. And I'm constantly conflicted. I see some dumb statement and I'd like to respectfully go, well, how about this? And there's a thought in my brain going, why? Why? It's going to get misconstrued. It's going to turn into somebody's straw man argument. It's going to throw a log on a fire and nobody's mind's going to be changed. Everybody's going to be drunk on their own self-righteousness and like, you know what? No. I like your cat video.
Cat videos are the best.
Yeah. But it brings up an interesting point, because how can we speak truth to power if we don't even speak truth to somebody who does not have power, when there's no skin in the game?
Good point.
I mean,
I'm with you. I don't like the phones.
I'm not on social media, so I don't know.
You're not missing anything.
But could you express on social media what you just expressed? Without necessarily, you can't even do that?
No, you can. You can. And
as long as they read it the right way.
Yeah, I mean... It's just an echo chamber. I don't know. And it's a shame, because it's the best technology we have and the deepest communication and connection we have of all the human race. And it's just this, digital fist fight.
Well, thumb wars, we call it.
What did you say?
Thumb wars.
Yeah.
You're on your phone and
tough guy.
You know, when we come back, let's talk about that. Effort by Musk to acquire Twitter, and is he dreaming, or will his acquiring that, assuming he does make it a platform for free speech, will it make a difference, or will it just be more babble in the mix? And we'll talk about that when we come back. And guys, it's fun to have you with us. One of these days, we're going to make it so you will have a voice on this program. He was irritated when the electricity went out. No television, no music, no Netflix. Then he discovered that the battery on his smartphone was dead. He decided to make some coffee, but when he went to the kitchen, he realized that without electricity, he couldn't even do that. Then he noticed his wife in the kitchen, and he sat down and talked to her. He said later, "You know, she seemed like a very nice lady." I know, technology's good, but sometimes go talk to somebody face to face. You might be surprised how nice and real they are. It's messy sometimes, but Jesus would like it. I'm Steve Brown. You think about that. Share what you just heard with a friend. Go to youthinkaboutthat.com. We appreciate your spending your time with us. If you're just joining us, we're just sitting around and talking. We're talking about speaking truth to power. And what started this conversation was another conversation about Elon Musk and his offer to buy Twitter. And we've talked about how Christians, especially in this culture, when we are not lauded in every corner or praised from every rooftop or appreciated by a lot of people, why it's so important that we learn how to speak truth to power. George pointed out that that statement, speaking truth to power, is out of the 60s and often reflected a very left political view. But the things have changed, and the primary meta-narrative that is being used in our culture is one with which Christians cannot disagree. So maybe it's more important today than it is at any other time for us to say the truth that God has given to us. And by the way, it's good news. I mean, we're not telling, it's not a condemning message or beat you over the head with the Bible message. It's simply a message of a God who's in charge. And if you'll go to him, he'll like you and you'll be surprised. You know, we were talking about social media, and Jinx, you said you had just read an article on the waning of social media.
Yeah, it was, I tried to find it again, but it's one of those that pops up on the little quick news feed and kind of disappears. But, and I'll have all the stats wrong. So, you know, which most stats are made up on the fly, right? Or 76.2% yeah. of them. Anyway.
44 out of 100 are made up on the fly.
Got it. Okay. So, but yeah, it was talking about how a lot of millennials and Gen Zers are just kind of, they're done with it. They're deleting the apps off their phones. Some people say they'll pop back on every 6 months or whatever. Mm. Most of them tired of comparing themselves to either themselves or someone else. And then it kind of broke it down by age groups. People in their 40s and older are hanging out on Facebook still. My son doesn't have a Facebook account, never has. Like, so it breaks down by ages of which ones they use. TikTok is the most popular one right now. I absolutely hate that one. So it's, but the one that was written off as completely almost unused was Twitter.
Really?
So when I heard that Elon was buying it or trying to buy it, I'm like, well, he's got that going for him. Maybe he can get it cheap. But when I actually read like the back and forth after they've started to try to make this happen and that he was going to make it truly open for anyone, I just hope he limits it back to 160 characters. That would make it a lot easier. I'm like, finally someone that can't shut up. it's like he doesn't give a rip. And, you know, if everything he said he's going to do, he's pretty much done. We all laugh when he said he's going to space, but he went. So I'm all for this. And, you know, if Twitter can be reborn as something better than what it's been for the last 5 or 10 years, I'm good with that as well.
You know, one of the interesting things about Musk's comments as he's gone through this is what the point you just made about Twitter being passé. He pointed out a number of very famous people either have given up or do tweets, very few on Twitter. And he said it doesn't bode well for the business itself. And that's why his offer is such a good one. If the shareholders are smart and the board, they'll jump at it. And they have one board member that has never been on Twitter. And they're paying him $150,000 a year to comment on an organization and a product that he doesn't even use. Kathy, you're on Facebook pretty often, aren't you?
I check it. I don't think I necessarily post things, you know, really frequently. But I mean, the thing is, when that first started, it was interesting what Matthew was saying, and I echo that, because I think so many people now have just determined that it's like a parent that has to learn to pick their battles with their 2-year-old. You know, what things are you willing to fight about? And because it's really important, and what things are you not? Again, as far as like speaking truth to power, because there are so many things that you can engage in with other people, and you can follow this long string of things if you're inclined to do it, and watch people and watch something that starts out as a semi quasi legitimate post about something and watch it deteriorate into nothing more than name calling and rock throwing. And it's like, what is the purpose for that? And what were you intending when you first began, and how close did you get to your desired result? And I think a lot of people are just saying, it's not worth it. Yesterday or last week, I read an article posted by somebody that a lot of us knew in Miami, letting people outside of town know about the death of someone that we all knew and loved from what our years in Miami. And that was while it was a sad thing to read, it was a nice thing to at least be aware of, or about which to be aware. So I think there's still some things going on with that I think are beneficial to people, but I think the overwhelming majority of it is just trash.
And you know, it's a minority that, you know, you have politicians making decisions on the basis of social media.
Exactly.
And social media itself is a small minority of people and doesn't even probably represent the majority viewpoint. And there's another thing, you know, we think that if Musk is able to acquire Twitter, that people will be nicer and more civil and kinder. That's not the way free speech works. It works in the opposite direction. It'll probably still be in your face, angry, because it's easier to say those kinds of things to somebody if you don't have to look at them in the face. And so every idiot is given a microphone to speak it. But if Elon Musk is successful, the sparks are going to fly, the fires are going to be lit, and it's not going to be a nice place. But freedom rarely is a nice place, and it'll probably get worse.
And the problem with everybody's microphone is that everybody's microphone is every bit as important as everybody else's microphone. And it doesn't have anything to do with whether or not you have expertise in the subject about which you are speaking. What you have to say is every bit as important as somebody who's an expert in that field. That's what social media does, which is crazy.
That's free speech.
It equalizes things that are not equal.
That are not equal. Exactly.
Yeah, that's true. They used to say they've given a microphone to the village idiot. And having played the part of the idiot quite often, I get that. But there's some things that I'm right about and others are wrong. And I know, and they don't. The list isn't very long, but there is a list. Hey, guys, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back. And we're going to tell you who won't show next week.
Hi, this is Eric, producer of Steve Brown, Etc. If you've been listening very long, you know I'm a struggling believer, and I'd love to share some things that have helped. At Key Life, we believe that the deepest message of the ministry of Jesus and the Bible is the radical grace of God for sinners and sufferers. And we have four mini books that'll help you believe that no matter what you've done or what you're going through, God's not mad at you. Feeling Guilty, Suffering, and Faith and Doubt by Steve Brown will help you apply healing biblical truth to where it hurts the most. And my mini book, The Gift of Addiction, How God Redeems Our Pain, shows that coming to the end of ourselves is actually the beginning of faith. These four mini books are in the Grace for Sinners and Sufferers mini book combo, and it's available at keylife.org for a suggested donation of $12. They're also individually available for a suggested donation of $4.
Hey, we're so glad you've been with us during this hour. If you have, and you listened to the whole thing, we've been talking about the importance of speaking truth to power. And it really is important. If we have the best news the world has ever heard, if we can tell people, you ever feel guilty, you don't have to. You ever fear death, you can live forever. You ever feel ostracized and marginalized, we've got a place where you're always acceptable and where they know your name. That's good news. And why we're afraid to express that absolutely blows me away. Of course, there are all kinds of overtones to the Christian faith. There's a structure of ethics and morality, and that offends those whose ethics and morality is different. And they're angry because anybody would suggest that there are certain ways that civilized people act. But still, Christians have been sent, and we weren't sent by our neighbor, and I'm not sending you. Jesus said, go into all the world and keep quiet. He didn't say that. Go into all the world and make disciples. How do you do that? By saying, I've got some of the best news you ever heard. If you want to hear it, I'll tell you. If you don't, I'm going to go to somebody else. That's a powerful message, and surprising how many people will listen if we speak it. Kathy, who's going to be on next week?
Next week is our friend Carolyn James. It is the re-release of a book that she published several years ago with some new information in it, and called Maelstrom. And it promises to be a great time with Carolyn.
Well, maybe for you, but I'm in the patriarchy, and I have a feeling I'm going to end up after that hour feeling guilty. And I've already got enough guilt. I don't need any more.
Well, sorry.
Actually, Carolyn James is one of my favorite people in the world, so she's fun to have on, and that'll be a good program. Guys, we've done all we can, so we're out of here. It's our fond hope that you'll join us next week, same time, same place. And between now and then, don't do anything we wouldn't. That gives you a wide, wide berth.
Just talk amongst yourself, but we've been doing this the whole time.
You know, guys, it went well. That was fun.
You didn't screw it up.
You can do this anytime.
That's how they call us professional.
So we can give thanks to Elon Musk.
There you go.
That's true.
I'm going to tweet in the show.
Somebody will find it. Yeah, tweet it.